All right. Okay. Parashas Truma. We'll start with the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha, the opening words, V'yikchu li Truma. See at least three different perushim on these words. This fascinating way to open the parasha. We'll look at the pasuk itself. V'yidaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor, daber al bnei Yisrael, v'yikchu li Truma. There's a lot of excess verbiage over here, aside from the strange verbiage that the Malbim is going to pick up on. The Malbim is going to point out, I think, six different things about this pasuk. Again, it says, "Speak to Bnei Israel, and they shall take for me truma from each person as his heart is willing to give. Take my truma." It sounds like a straightforward pasuk, but it's actually very strange. So the Rambam says, "Hatana kama pratim." There are a bunch of conditions in this pasuk. First of all, "Lo amar v'yitnu li truma." It should have said,
Give me.
"Give me truma. Give me a portion." Sha'az ayam mitzvata say v'chiyova kol achad liten. Then it would be an obligation on each person to give. V'Hashem ratzah she'truma zot tiyeh. By the way, when it says "v'yikhu li truma," that means who has the mitzvah? It's not just that it says take instead of give, but if it says take, then who's got the mitzvah? Moshe and the other gatherers, not the people giving, the people taking. When it says v'yikhu li truma, it sounds like, okay, you and a bunch of other people are going to go out and collect from the people, which means the mitzvah is on the collectors, it's not on the givers even. It says, if it would have said v'yitnu, then mitzvah tasei v'chiyuv al kol achad liten, then everybody would have an obligation to give. V'Hashem ratzah she'truma zot tiyeh minitvat lev ratzon chofshi, lo al yedei shum hechreach. So he says that Hashem wanted it to be willing and not forced. V'im haya tzivui she'itnu. If he would have made an obligation upon people to give, then it would have been a forced giving. Hayu nodnim bechreach al yedei tzivui. Lachin be'er she'ino mitzvah she'itnu rak she'imanu gabayim lekabel mimi she'yirtzeh liten. The only people he commanded were the gabayim, which means it was not, in fact, a mitzvah, according to the Malbim, to give. At least not this pasuk does not create a mitzvah to give. This pasuk only creates a mitzvah to collect. The givers are giving of their own free will, of their own ratzon chofshi. The second thing, li, vikhu li truma. Just say vikhu truma or vietnu truma. Li lishmi. Li here doesn't mean for me, it means for my sake. Shelo yarev beruchop pniach itonit litkabed or litpaer benitvato or amenad lekabel pras v'chadomer rak l'shem Hashem bilvad, that the truma should be given for my sake, not for the sake of showing off how much money you have or how willing you are to give or to impress somebody, but rather just give it for my sake. Number three, sheikhu truma shenoten lo yiten kol rakusho rak truma levad. This was actually meant to limit the giving. It's supposed to be a truma, a portion, not a whole thing. Litrom, the word truma actually means a portion of the whole. It doesn't mean to give the whole thing. Challah is a truma. Challah is a very small piece of the challah. Trumot that we take from the fruit and vegetables, those are not the entire fruit and vegetable, it's a piece of it, even the smallest piece. So it's meant to mean that people should not give their entire fortune. Me'et kol ish, what does that add? Why do you have to add me'et kol ish? Just say, v'yikhu li truma. Shekva bi'arti b'atorah v'mitzvah, that's the commentary of the Malbim. Shebamakom sheba lashon nekicha lokeach minanoten b'ratzon derech matana, yesh hevdel bein lashon kach mimenu, u'bein lashon kach me'ito. There's a difference between whether it would have said v'yikhu li truma mimenu or me'et kol ish. What is the difference? Kach me'ito means that the person is beratzon atov. The person wants to give. Take it from him that he is giving already. But if it would have said mimenu, it would mean take it from him almost forcibly or pressure them. Okay, let's skip to hey. Shelo yechshavu shelo yikhu nidava zot rak min ha'asherim v'roshei ha'ida amar me'et kol ish. The words kol ish show up to show that this is not limited only to the rich or only to the poor. It's everybody that's included. And Shaloi Hashu Shayna Kabel Rakna Davag Dolava Dava Hashuv Amar Asher Yidvenu Libo. Don't think that okay, the person wants to give 20 shekel, that's good, but if the person wants to give 10 agurot, then don't take it. He says, no. Whatever the people are willing to give, kol asher yidvenu libo, even a chut echad, even a single shoelace, a little bit. And then Zayin is the Ramaz, Masha Amar David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. David said, Ki mimcha hakol umiyadcha natanu lach. This final point is a point that's going to be echoed in variation by the Chatam Sofer and the Ketav Kabbalah. But the way that the Malbim puts it is, he says, David HaMelech says in Divrei Hayamim, Ki mimcha hakol umiyadcha natanu lach. Everything comes from you, and from your hand we give to you. Hashem, everything is yours. If we give you anything, then we're giving it from your hand. Everything that we have comes from Hashem. Liya kesef, liya zav, veinam shel ha'adam. Rak be'eit shemitnadev l'shem shamayim, azu zocheh behem shi'chashev kilu shalo. When you give them, when you give the objects that are currently in your hand, that is how you actually acquire them for the first time. By giving them, you acquire them. Then by giving, they all of a sudden become yours, and then you can give them to God, and they'll be, it's like you're giving from yourself.
I don't
Okay?
understand. I can't understand that. Why does that? How does that work? How
What
does it
he's
become
saying
you?
is that we believe that between me and someone else, there's property that belongs to me and doesn't belong to him, right? There's such a thing as private property. It belongs to me. But on the other hand, viewed from the perspective zoomed out, Hashem created everything. He's kone olam. Everything belongs to God. So I have no possessions. Everything really belongs to God. I take my parents out for a dinner when I'm 18, and I use their credit card to pay for the dinner. Okay, Meisim b'chol yom, 20 years ago. But you know what? They appreciate it, and I feel like I'm doing something because, you know, I took them out, and I acquire that money so that I can give it back to them. So too, when we give something to Hashem, we say, okay, Hashem, you gave us this credit card. We're able to use it for whatever we want, but it's your money. We're choosing to use it on you.
And all this is in contrast to last week's parsha, to the Machatzita Shekel, where everything
Machatzita Shekel last week.
fine, everything's fine, not more,
Oh,
not
Shkalim, that's actually in 2 weeks.
Shkalim,
Parshat
Shkalim.
Ki Tisa.
That's the big contrast.
We'll return to that soon. So here, they're giving, once they give, they actually acquire it, and then they're giving it. That's the only way they can acquire it, by giving it up. We'll see a similar idea here a little bit. Well, kind of an inverse idea from the Chatam Sofer. The Chatam Sofer says, V'yikul li'truma, tzarech tam. Lama nakat v'yikhu v'lo kamar v'yitnu? Same question. Why does it say v'yikhu and not v'yitnu? Say give, not take. So he says, v'nira ha'kavana, p'ma sh'amru chazal b'midrash, al haman, what chazal say on the parsha of the man, amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rasha, takon ha'shali, bishali, sh'nemar li ha'kesef, v'nemar ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, v'kavana p'ma sh'amru, b'reish ketzem. He says, you guys, you're taking my stuff with my stuff. He says, take a look at the beginning of the sixth parak of Brachot. Before a person makes a bracha, kodem bracha, ne'emar, la'shem ha'aretz, umloa, we see about the whole world, that the whole world and everything in it belongs to God. U'la'achar bracha, ne'emar, v'haaretz natan lifnei Adam. This is all one pasuk. The same pasuk that says, la'shem ha'aretz umloa, v'haaretz natan lifnei Adam. It's the same idea, but does the world belong to God or does it belong to man? The answer is it belongs to God, but after we make a bracha, then it belongs to us. V'kavanah she'im ha'adam eina oved Hashem b'mamon, she'natan lo Hashem itbarach, az adayin eino nikra al shmo. What that means is that even your private possessions, if you don't use them in some way to serve God, then they don't become yours. They're not even yours. Adayin eino nikra al shmo, v'rak ha'idei avodah la'Hashem, shehihihi tachlit kinyano, b'zeh nikra shalom. By giving some of your possessions in the name of God, then they become yours. Ulakach, b'otor rasha, shapir amar rasha, takone shali b'shali, shnemar li yakesef. The rasha who just wants to use everything for himself, Hashem says, it's still mine. V'ainu dekamar v'yikhu li truma, sha'idei maaseh tov. Through this good act of giving the truma, yikhu davar hamiyuad li. They take something which is mine, the object which is mine, meaning Hashem's, the object which belongs to Hashem. We take the object that belongs to Hashem, which is, you know, in our possession. Give to him what is his. Give him what is his, because you and yours is his. So now the Chatam Sofer does a twist, though. Okay, now he switches things around, and this is actually a Hasidic approach. You can find this in the Netivot Shalom and other places. He says now that ultimately the only thing you can really give God is your choice and your joy. Ein la'adam chelek benitinat ha'tshuma el ha'simcha v'ratzon ha'tov. The only part that you have that you're giving to Hashem, really, is the simcha and the ratzon ha'tov. That's the only thing that's personally yours. V'hainu, me'ed kol ish asher yidvenu libo. What are the people going to give? Their nedivat lev, their generosity. Hainu, kavanato ha'tova. So, in other words, that's what the end of the pasuk means. You're giving to Hashem your nedivut lev. That's why he says, "Amru Chazal k'shenit k'Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu nitinat machatit ha'shekel." Okay, Baruch, the machatit ha'shekel. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand what is this machatit ha'shekel. What did it look like? Who remembers? What does Rashi say about that? What did Hashem do when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I don't understand what the machatit ha'shekel is"?
God showed him an image of it, right?
An image of what?
Of a burning coin?
A fiery, a coin made out of fire. A coin made out of fire. What did that mean? What was Moshe's problem? And why is the coin made out of fire? So listen to this beautiful comment by the Chatam Sofer. He says, Moshe was confused. What does the machatzit ha'shekel look like? He showed him a fiery coin. What does it mean? Moshe didn't understand. Why is everybody giving the same coin? Some people have lots of coins. Some people only have a few coins. Some people barely have any coins. And they're all giving the same coin. Why is that? That was what his problem was. That's what he didn't understand. What does this coin look like that everybody's giving the same one? Why do you have to prevent the people who are richer from giving more? Hashem showed him the fiery coin. The kazeyitnu. Hashem says, look, it doesn't matter how many coins they have. This is what I want from each one of them. Hanedivut v'akavana v'hasimcha v'avat Hashem asher tukad b'kirbo, the joy and the intention and the love of God which burns in their heart. Zehu ikara netina v'imkein harotzeh lo'osif l'harbot malin alav ki lo'osif v'imkein be'emet ein hakol shavim. So whoever wants to give more, let them want to give more, but they don't have to actually give more.
That doesn't answer the question of why it was a fiery.
Because the fire represents their passion.
Okay.
The fiery coin that Hashem showed them wasn't an actual coin. It was their passion in the form of a coin. And he was telling Moshe, I don't need more physical coinage. I would like more passion. If a person wants to give with more nedivut lev, great. But he still only gives a coin. The last comment about this is the Ketav Kabbalah, Rav Yachud Tzvi Mecklenburg. So he says, "Vik huli." He says, "Kshamakabel adam chashuv az nechshav hanotein kimakabel." When the person receiving is an important person, then the giver turns into a receiver. What does that mean? So he quotes the Gemara in Kedushin, famous Gemara in Kedushin that says, "Natnahi v'amar hu imhu adam chashuv mikudeshet." Generally speaking, when you have Kiddushin, the way that it's done is the man gives something to the woman, and with the pleasure of receiving this gift from the man, whether it's a coin, whether it's a ring, whether it's food, whatever it is, she says, with this pleasure, hana'a, we are now engaged. I agree. What happens if the woman gives something to the man? Can the man say, okay, with this pleasure, we are now engaged? The answer is no. That won't work. It can't work, except in one case, the case of Adam Chashuv. If the woman is giving something to a man who is extremely important, very smart, very rich, very powerful, very prestigious, then with the pleasure that she gets from him actually agreeing to receive the gift, that is tangible pleasure enough that she can become Mikudeshet through that pleasure. And in that case, the person giving, this case is the woman, becomes a receiver herself. Over here it says v'ikhu, because to whom are we giving our coin, our, you know, trumot? To Hashem. And the fact that Hashem is willing to receive that, we are taking that pleasure. We are really taking when we give. It says that Eliezer took the Nezem Zahav, but he was really giving the Nezem Zahav to Rivka. Because the givers here got tremendous benefit, so much benefit that they view themselves as takers. So by giving to Hashem, we aren't only giving, but we're also receiving. Powerful idea from the Ketav HaKabbalah.
That's in any case with anything, with you, Ben Adam LeChaviro, also.
But we don't always feel that way. Very often we feel, you know, okay, I'm giving. I'm giving to this person. Look at me. I gave.
You're also receiving.
We don't always look at it that way. I don't think look at it that way. Okay, nice little comment. We always have to have one of these by the Chatam Sofer. The words, Zahav v'kesef u'nechoshet, gold, silver, and copper, right? So he says, Yesh l'ramez bazeh yemei kriyat ha-Torah. There's a remez through these three materials to the days of Kriyat HaTorah. The word Zahav is Zayin He Vet. Zayin, these are the days of the week. Zayin is Shabbos, it's the seventh day. He and Bet are Monday and Thursday. Yom Sheni and Yom Chamishi. We read the Torah on all three of those days. Then we get the word Kesef, which stands for Kippur, Sukkot, and Purim or Pesach. Those are all Chagim on which we read the Torah. Then you have Nechoshet, which is Nun for Neirot Chanukah. We read the Torah in Chanukah. We have Chet for Chodesh, as in Rosh Chodesh, and also Rosh Hashanah. And then we have Shin for Shavuot. And then we have Taf for either, also we have Shin for Shavuot or for Shmini Atzeret, which is also Simchat Torah, and the Taf can also be Ta'anit. So what we have over here is that there's an acrostic here between Zahav, Kesef, and Nechoshet is all the days that we read the Torah. I'm pretty sure he covered all the days. There's nothing that's left out here. It's got a lot of letters here. So it's not that hard. How many letters is this? This is 7, 12. 12 letters. 12 out of the 22 letters in the alphabet. So there you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Next one. Back to the Chatam Sofer one more time. It says, Vizot HaTruma. Actually, you know what? Let's skip this one. We don't have so much time, so let's skip this one. We'll go to the Kliyakar. Kliyakar, we're going to zip through because it's a long one. I didn't copy part of it, so I just got it from Sefariah. The Kliyakar prefaces his words on Truma by saying, everybody has so much to say about this. Look at Rashi, look at Sforno, look at everybody. I'm just going to add a little bit. And then he adds a lot. So what he talks about over here is specifically, he says, he points out that the three major kelim that are mentioned in this week's parasha are the Shulchan, the Aron, and the Mizbeach. Okay? And this is actually the Mizbeach Achitzon, the big Mizbeach. And these are Keneged Gimel Ketarim, Keter Torah, Keter Kuna, and Keter Malchut. But he says, take a look, there's something interesting about them. The way that each one is described is that each one has different types of dimensions. So, for example, the Aron, all of its dimensions are broken. 1.5, 2.5, a half. There are halves. All of the dimensions of the Aron are broken. The Mizbeach, all of its dimensions are whole. They're all whole. And then when it comes to the Shulchan, some of them are whole and some of them are halves. Or some of them are broken. So again, the Aron, all broken. The Mizbeach, all whole. And the Shulchan, half broken, half whole. What do we make of this? Is it a coincidence? I think not. So here comes the Kliyakar. He says, Hakarov Elai Lomar Bazeh. He prefaces it as follows. The Chachamim say that with regards to Ma'alot, Abed Lamala Mimcha, Ki Alidezei Dameh Ben Avshok Yu Chaser Min Shleimut V'lo Yigel Madrigat Chaviro. With regards to good traits, always look at people who have traits that are greater than yours, so that you aspire to them. In other words, if you have good traits, if you have certain kishronot, certain talents, certain strong elements to your personality, or whatever characteristics, always look at people who have even better. That way, you aspire. V'yavolit kanot bo, and then you'll be jealous, but you'll aspire to them. V'yosif al shlemut chokhmato, ki kinat sofrim tarbe chokhma. That's what you should do. Aval binyani olam hazeh, dahinu kol atzlachot hagufaniyot, ka'osher v'chavod. But what about this worldly thing? Should you be looking at another person with more money and think, oh, I wish I had more money? Obviously not. Yistakel b'muhushehu l'mata mimenu. So with regards to this worldly things, always look at people who are below you. So you feel, I'm sameach b'chalki. I look at people who have less than me, and I see, oh, you know what? I have so much. Yesh li rav. So with regards to things that are good, always look at people above you. Regards to things that are this worldly, that are physical, always look at people who are below you. Kamo shamru hamitpalel yiten einav l'mata, v'libo l'mala. Look, your eyes down, your heart up. Okay? That's the idea over here. Valkane, I'm jumping to the part that's underlined. I know it's blurred. Alkane, ayu kol ha'amot ha'aron shvurot. That's why all of the amot in the aron are broken. What does that represent? Baruch, what does that represent, that the amot in the aron are broken? Well, does the aron represent shlemut in the physical world or in the spiritual world?
Spiritual world.
And how should we approach the spiritual world? We should always look at ourselves as if we are
broken.
We are broken. We are not shalem. We look to others. As though you still have to fill up. We should always feel lacking so that we always aspire. That's what we should think of when we look at the Aron, that we are aspiring. But the Shulchan, which is Mirameis to the Keter Malchut, and all kinds of accomplishments in this world that people have, Hayu Amotav Ktzatam Shlemot, Ki Kol Maskil Yismach Bechalko, V'idameh B'Nafsho Kilu Yesh Lo Kol, V'Eino Chaser L'Nafsho Me'uma. A person should look at himself as if he has everything that he needs. So many of the dimensions of the Shulchan are full. Like Yaakov says, Yesh Li Kol, but some of them were broken. So a person should feel, this tells you a different message, that you should break your yetzer, break your tava. So, in other words, don't ever fill up. Don't ever fill up with physicality. So that's the Shulchan. Now we get to the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is all Amotav Shlemim. They're all whole numbers. V'chein yizbach ha'olah, both of them. Kinyan shneim ha'ashlim et ha'adam ha'chaser mitzad ma'asav. Ki kol ha'ba l'chaper al ha'adam ma'ashlim chesrono. Ki mizbach ha'olah m'chaper al guf ha'chote al yideh ha'kavat gufot shel ba'alei chayim. The job of the mizbeach itself is to give a person shlemut. A person is supposed to come to the mizbeach broken, but then once he brings his korban, he's supposed to walk away whole. And so that's what the message is of the whole measurements of the Mizbeach. So just to recap, when you look at the Aron, you're supposed to think, okay, I'm broken, l'umat everybody else, because of my spirituality, and I have to aspire to be greater, to be shalem. I have more work, I have more room to grow and more work to do. When you look at the Shulchan, so it's half-half. On the one hand, I should feel like I have everything that I need, and that's why I'm shalem. On the other hand, I should look at the things that I do have and say, I'm only going to take half of them, right? They said that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein really liked ice cream. I heard this from somebody who knew him and saw this. So when he would go to the freezer, he would take out the pint of ice cream. He would take a spoon and take one spoonful of ice cream and have just that spoonful. He wouldn't take a bowl. He would just take one spoonful and that would be it. That's all he would have. Okay? I don't know anybody else who does that.
He didn't want to wash the dishes.
That's all he would have. Dafka, I'll tell you another thing.
I do that, but then you go back to the second and
first. Rav Aaron used to wash the dishes in the house every night, and when they asked him why, I personally have an issue with this. When they asked him why, he said, because if I don't do it, then the kids have to do it, and then they fight, and I don't want my kids to fight. It's an interesting parenting. Interesting parent approach. Rav Aaron. He said, I'd rather that I do it and that my kids not fight about it. No. Not for us. That's for him. It's not for us. Okay. So that's with regards to the Shulchan. And then you get to the Mizbeach, and the job of the Mizbeach is to make people whole so that you bring Korbanot on there and then you become whole through them. Okay. Now let's move over to the Netziv, Hamek Dover of Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. He points out that about the Kruvim, it says Shnayim. Kruvim Shnayim. It should have said Shnei Kruvim. Why Kruvim Shnayim? Shnei. Save a letter. Shnei Mibai. V'kach katav parsha v'yakal. Shnei Kruvim. In fact, in other places, it says Shnei Kruvim. V'fi aklal, kol makom dechtiv Shnei, v'hum yutar. The Stam Rabim Shnayim. The truth is, anytime it says Shnei, it's usually extra, because as long as it's plural, the smallest plural is two. Shnei indicates shiyu shavin zekaze. Whenever it says two, it means that they are equal. They're the same in some way. So when it says shnei kruvim, it means that they're the same. Mihu v'davar achad lo ayu shavin. Delechad ha'atzurat zachar ulechad ha'atzurat nekeva. But the kruvim were not exactly the same. They looked similar, but they were different in a very important way. One of them was male, and the other one was female. K'demuchach b'yoma, like it says in the Gemara. And that's why it says shnayim, to tell you it's a zug kruvim, echad zachar v'echad nekeva. They're not exactly the same. And what does it teach you? That one of them is zachar and one of them is nekeva. There's lots of messages, there's lots of imagery about the kruvim, but the one that he picks is l'lamdeinu, the ahava shebein Yisrael avim shebashamayim, the love between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sheivu'ar b'mikra ha-samuch hu ahavat ha-mashpia v'ha-mushpa. The giver and the one who receives, the influencer and the influenced. Sheteva yitzira mechayvam shekach utba b'briya sheyeh mashbia mishtokek l'hashpia ba'ava al mushpa mimenu. God created a world where those who are mashpia have a desire to be mashpia. V'hamushpa einav tluyot tamid mashpia. And the one who receives is always looking towards the one who gives. Kach chukato shel Kadosh Baruch Hu l'hashpia tamid bracha ba'ava al Yisrael. Hashem is always desiring to give to Am Yisrael. There's a phrase, right? Yoter mimasha para mimasha ha.
Yes,
kef.
The more than the mother wants to nurse. Baby wants to suckle, the mother wants to nurse.
That's right. How do you say the baby calf? I forget now. Yoter mimasha. How do you say baby calf? Yes, Yoter mimasha yelid rotzel linok.
Rav Dani etz egel.
Right, there you go. Yoter mimasha egel rotzel linok, ha para yoter lahanik. He wants to give more than the calf wants to receive. So over here as well, this relationship between the zachar and the nekeva, that was a love relationship between Hashem and us, that He wants to be mashpia on us. That's the imagery. Okay, moving on. The Or HaChaim, Rav Chaim ibn Attar. So this Rav Chaim ibn Attar, this is a very basic Or HaChaim. It's mentioned actually in the Minchas Chinuch, this week's parasha, on the mitzvah of building the Mishkan. And this is a somewhat quasi-halachic Or HaChaim, but with philosophical underpinnings. He says, Nishar lanu ladat shar pratim sheba Mishkan hayu li'ikuva ubeit olamim lo hayu ma'akvin. Says, it seems like there are some things that in the Mishkan had to be a certain way, but in the Beit HaMikdash that came later, that was built by Shlomo, they were optional. They didn't have to be exactly that way. So for example, the Rambam says, Ein bonim ela ba'avanim o bilavenim. He says, Na v'ine. This is his point. Havinot b'kol mashkot v'Rambam b'mishpatei Beit Eloheinu v'ereki b'gimel kelim katav shetzarich shiyu kemot kelim shasa Moshe b'midbar mamash. The Rambam says that the three kelim, the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach HaZahav, whenever they are built, they must be built exactly the same way that Moshe built them in the Midbar. They have to be exactly the same. It says in the Gemara, but the rest of the Kelim in the Mishkan, they're lav davka, they can be built in other ways. So the Aron HaKodesh, There are options about how we want to build it. It seems that this mitzvah of v'chein tasu ledorot, which is what Hashem tells Moshe, you should do this from generation to generation, build in this way. He says that only applied to the mizbeach, the shulchan, and the menorah. He says v'ein ze emet, but that's not true. Everything I just said is wrong. Ki bagmara darshu leinyan kiddush ha'azara. Says, but I don't understand. It's clear from other places that the whole structure was supposed to be duplicated. You weren't supposed to go out of the lines in any way. And yet we see that Shlomo HaMelech made many different versions of all of the kelim in the Mikdash. So how do we explain this? How did Shlomo HaMelech make kelim that were different than the ones in the original Mishkan? That's his basic question. And there are many answers to this question, but we'll learn the Orachai. Hine, Baskala Mu'etet Binyan, Ein Shum Kushakla. He says, the truth is there's no question. Ki yesh ladat ki kol binyan abayit v'kelim lo'asam Shlomo k'fi asher nir'e bein sichlo l'fa'er el api navi. The bottom line is Shlomo HaMelech didn't make anything up. He didn't do it because the mood struck him or because it was his intuition. Rather, how did he decide how to build all of the kelim that he built in the Mishkan, in the Beit HaMikdash? Alpi Navi. Through a prophet. Everything was Alpi Navi. V'gam Navi yigid ki lo divrei nebuato yigid ala divrei kabalato. And the truth is, even the Navi said that everything that I'm telling you is really tradition. It's not even anything that I'm making up either, which means that it was always going to be that way. Meaning, Masra Kadosh Baruch Hu Bamida LaMoshe, Moshe Masra LiYoshua Bamida, and Yoshua gave it over and over and over, and then to the Neviim, and everything was given down to Shlomo. Melamed Shnitna LiDaresh Miyad Hashem, Melamed Shnitna B'Masorat Alai, Hiskil Melamed Shnitna B'Ruach HaKodesh Ad Kan. So that means, Kol Mashasa Shlomo B'Bayit HaHalacha LaMoshe MiSinai. Even though Shlomo's kelim were different than the kelim that Moshe made in the Mishkan, they were according to the instructions that Moshe was given to Hashem about the future Mikdash. In other words, Hashem gave Moshe two sets of instructions. One set was, this is how you're going to build the Mishkan now. And then another set was, this is how the Mikdash is going to be built in 1,000 years from now. And that way, everything is... because both sets of instructions were given. That's how the Aruch Chaim answers this question. Okay. All right. Let's keep going. Okay. Here's a Shtikla Bar Benel, small one. He says, the Atzei Shittim. I remember this, Bar Benel. The Atzei Shittim. What do we know about the Atzei Shittim? What does everybody want to know about these Atzei Shittim? These Atzei Shittim are large trees. They're very, very large, thick, strong trees. They're cedar wood. When was the last time you were walking in the desert and you saw cedar trees growing out of the ground?
Nada.
Lo haya v'lo nivra. Where did they come from? Where did Bnei Yisrael get these cedar wood?
Mitzrayim.
So here you have three different answers. Number one, he says, Min mimine bedrash amru shenet am Yaakov b'Mitzrayim. Yaakov planted them. He brought them from Canaan. He planted them in Mitzrayim for the future because he knew that they were going to need them. But what are you talking about? What does that mean? That means that Yaakov had to plant them, and then Bnei Yisrael had to cut them down before they left and carry them through the Yamsuf. He says it's a little far fetched. The midrash is interesting. It's fascinating, but al pi pshat doesn't make much sense. That's his claim. The Ibn Ezra says something else. He says, "Sheyar haya samuch l'Har Sinai." There was a forest next to Har Sinai. Umisham kartu otam lechatzveim ulchsukoritayim. Beitnadvu kol mishnim sa'i toharuim lekrashim. They cut them down from a tree that was next to Har Sinai. Okay. The Bar Benel says, "No." Hayoter nachonhu shehayu ba'im amim mikol svivot el machane Yisrael limkor kol mini schurot. You think they were alone in the Midbar the whole time? They didn't interact with anybody anywhere? No, are you kidding? They heard there were a bunch of Jews walking through the Midbar and they said, let's go sell them stuff. Umisham kanu ha-shemen la-ma'or v'ab-samim v'shemen la-mishcha v'l-karet ki ein lachshov shotziu kol zami mitzrayim. Umisham gam ken kanu atzei shittim. They got it all at the mall. That's the answer. They got it at the mall. People were coming by. There were merchants. There were itinerant, sochrim. They came by. Bnei Israel paid the money, and they bought. And that's what they did. Boring Abarbanel.
He doesn't cite any evidence for this position, though.
He doesn't need any. He says it's mistaber. It's probably pshat. What do you think? They were alone there. There were people. They gave them water. They gave them food. They gave them also this stuff. Okay. Two more comments. Maybe just one more. We'll see. Sfat Emet. All right. Let's see the Sfat Emet. Okay. We've learned this before, I think, or I've mentioned it before. The Sfat Emet quotes his grandfather, the Chidush Arim. He gied mea brachot b'kol yom. You're supposed to say 100 brachot every day. And the Gemara has a drasha for this from Parshat Ekev, and there are lots of different explanations. The Sfat Emet quotes his grandfather, says, Hanea neged mea adanim, shayu yisod amishkan. We know that there were 50 krashim around the Mishkan. Yes, there were 50 krashim. They weren't walls. They were these poles. Poles that were stuck into the... Well, they weren't stuck into the ground. What were they stuck into? How did they stand?
They were stuck into the Adanim.
Basically. The Adanim. There were these Lego blocks. There were these... The Adanim were these square pegs with holes in the middle. Okay, piece of square silver, I think. Different. Some of them were silver, some of them were copper. And each keresh had two legs. And the two legs would go directly into two adanim. So if you had 50 krashim, how many adanim did you have? 100. 100 adanim. What does adan stand for, adanim sound like? Adonim. There were 100 Adonim. Ubagmara ma Hashem shoel miimach. That's the pasuk that it quotes from. Atikrima elamea Hashem aretz va'aretz adan v'adam kan kodem bracha etc. etc. Perish ki im yodim shehu shal Hashem itbarach v'Hashem aretz kafi yediazu nitan la'adam. If you say brachot, then Hashem gives you the world. And he quotes his grandfather again. Pirish shenase mitzvato achar habracha shekol kavanat habriyah leida ki hu mimeni mitbarach. When you make a bracha, you are giving the object that you're making a bracha on, you're giving it a purpose in this world. And then you acquire it. V'lekach kodem habracha ma'al. If you didn't make a bracha, then it's not yours. You have no right to it. Once you make the bracha, then you do. By saying the bracha, you're declaring that ultimately it's Hashem's. Now he says a deeper idea. He says that when you make a bracha on an apple, what you're doing is you are recognizing the connection between that apple and its creator, God. And by doing that, you're creating, in a metaphysical sense, a channel from the apple to God, bringing down God's divine light through the apple and then into yourself when you eat it. That's what you're doing. V'chein b'Shabbat Kodesh, and the same true of Shabbos. V'chein b'Shabbat Kodesh hu berkat yimei Shavua. Shabbos is like the bracha on the other 6 days. When we recognize on Shabbos that Hashem created the world, we are ultimately recognizing the same thing on the other 6 days of the week. That's why the bracha for the rest of the week comes through Shabbos. By recognizing God, we cleave to Him. We attach ourselves to Him, and that's how we actually get bracha in our lives. So the bracha rebounds back to us. Okay. We're giving a bracha that ultimately causes a bracha to be chal on us itself. Last thing that I'll just mention, we're not going to read it inside. The Ketav Kabbalah on the word edut, right? The lechot ha'edut or the aron ha'edut. So how would you normally translate edut?
Testimony.
Testimony, witnesses, right? Which makes a lot of sense. And the luchot are a testimony, right? So the Ketav HaKabbalah disagrees. He says that's not how you're supposed to translate edut. That would be edot, aid. But he says, edut is actually the shorish of ud. What's ud? Ud is a crown, or tiferet, glory. In fact, in the parasha of Kitisa, when we have the Chet HaEgel, what do we remove from our heads? Edyam, Aleph, Ayin Dalet, Yud Mem. What does that mean? We removed our crowns. So according to the Ketav HaKabbalah, when we say Aron HaEdut, Luchot HaEdut, that's not the Luchot that testify, but rather, he says, they are the Kishut, Shemitkashet Bo HaMelech. You should think of them as crowns. They're crowns of glory. That's the idea. So the Luchot Ha'idut, the Aron Ha'idut, it's to tell you that this is the Aron that carries God's glory, his crown, or the Luchot that represent his crown. That's his idea. Okay, let's recap what we did. So first we saw the Malbim, who pointed out a lot of anomalies it's the second pasuk, of Vayikhu Lichurma. Why does it say Vayikhu, not Vayitnu? And he has a bunch of things to say about it. Number one, that it shouldn't be a mitzvah on the givers, but rather a mitzvah on those who collect, so that the givers don't feel compelled, like they're forced. Li Lishmi says that you shouldn't have any other thoughts when you're giving it. You should be doing it for his sake. The fact that it's called a truma, you're giving a portion, not the whole thing. It's taken from every single person, no matter their financial wherewithal. The idea that they're giving from their passion. That's actually taking us to the Chatam Sofer. The Chatam Sofer says, Ve'yikru li truma, really ultimately, you don't own anything. You don't own anything, and what you're really giving Hashem is your passion. And that's represented also by the Metbeah Shal Esh that Hashem shows Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ketav HaKabbalah has a little bit of a different take on it. He says, you are giving to Hashem, but as you're giving to Hashem, you're also taking. Because when you give to an Adam Chashuv, you also are receiving the prestige of being able to give. The Chatam Sofer has this nice acrostic, Zahav HaKesef HaNechoshet, which represents all of the days, the 12 days that we say, that we read the Torah. Then you have Zot HaTrum, and then we skip this one. Then you have the Kli Yakar, who says that between the Aron, the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach, some of them have a full measure, some of them have a half measure, and he went through each one of those to say what it represents. The Emek Davar says that it says Shnayim instead of Shinei to show that the Kruvim were not exactly the same. There was a Charu Nekeva. Then we have the Or HaChaim, who explained that Moshe Rabbeinu was actually told what the makeup, what the dimensions should be for Shlomo HaMelech's future Beit HaMikdash, not only the Mishkan. Then we saw that Rabban Elul claims that Bnei Israel bought the cedar wood for the Mishkan from merchants in the Midbar. And then we saw the Sfat Emet about the 100 brachot a day, which are the Nekeneged Mea Adanim, and the fact that the bracha that we make actually rebounds onto us. I want to wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. Shakar.
I have a quick question. When you say Shnayim means that they weren't exactly equivalent, isn't it similar in the Korbanot that we say Elim Shnayim or something like that? Does anyone know what I'm talking about exactly?
Elim Shnayim.
Am I right? I don't know if it's Elim Shnayim or
Elim Shnayim. That's Rosh Chodesh.
All right, well, that means, according to this Pshat, that
they don't have to be
Elim,
the same.
We're not exactly the same.
Yeah, it would have to mean that.
It would have to mean that according to the Pshat.
Yeah, I don't know what that would mean, but you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Yishar Koach. Good night, everybody. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
The people who are still on, do you all...